Welcome to the Shadow Hills Podcast. We would love to have you visit us at one of our campuses in Las Vegas or online at shadowhills.org. We pray that God will speak to your heart as you listen to today's message.
All right, we're just going to turn this around here, right? All right. Look, we never want to get too formal around here, right? And I feel like God was reminding us of that. We're all dressed up in our Sunday best today, and I'm just thinking I have no idea where I'm going to put my stuff. But how about one more hand for the team? That was amazing. Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles today. We're going to read part of the Christmas story together, Luke chapter number 2. And again, we want to invite you back for next week. Our choir will be singing and we'll have another great production. Luke chapter 2, we're going to pick up in verse 10 today. The Bible says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men.' And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." I love Christmas. Do you guys? One of the things by far that I love most about Christmas and most about this season is the idea of Christmas traditions. How many of you have traditions that you follow every year and that your family has? We have a ton of them. Let me give you just a few. In our family, every year we get a real tree. No fake tree for us. Anybody feeling the real tree? We always get a real tree. This is always a big deal. Yeah, all right, I can hear all the real tree people out there. This is always a big deal. It is also a big pain, all right, after Christmas is over with. But yet, we definitely do that. We bake and we decorate, and I use the word we very loosely here because I'm mostly talking about my wife and daughters, but we bake and we decorate Grandma Sue's famous Christmas sugar cookies. That's every year. We have to do that. Every year, we read together the night before Christmas. I gather everyone around, and I read the poem the night before Christmas to all the girls, and then we put out cookies and milk for Santa, all right? Don't judge, all of you people that don't do that. But we are all over those Christmas traditions. And honestly, every single one of them is non-negotiable. Like if any of the years we miss any of the traditions, the girls will look back and say, "That ruins everything. You ruined everything. Like, we didn't do this tradition." Anybody kind of feeling me on that? And so we want to have the perfect holiday. We really do. And we want to do Christmas right, and we want to get Christmas right. And so I want to talk to you about this subject today, getting Christmas right. Because we all want that, but if we're honest with ourselves, it comes with a lot of pressure. We put this pressure on ourselves to get Christmas right, because if we're going to have a tree, then we got to pick out the perfect tree. We got to take time to do that. We got to have the perfect decorations, and our house has to be good and Christmassy. Like it's got to feel like it does every year and even better. And then we go start picking out gifts for people, and they got to be the right gifts. They got to be the perfect gifts. We got to make sure that we do that right. And then there's all the family stuff and extended family stuff, which can be awesome or not so awesome, depending on your family, all right? All of us have that hashtag crazy uncle, you know, at the party. But we do the family stuff. We do the work stuff. We do the obligatory church stuff. We better do the church stuff, right? I mean, it is Jesus' birthday after all. It is Christmas. It is Christmas. Hopefully, we're going to help the less fortunate if we can. We're going to reach out to the community if at all possible. And we can get tired just thinking about all of this stuff. Because it's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's all good stuff, but it's a lot of stuff. But we do these things because, again, we want to do Christmas right. We want to get Christmas right. But the weeks fly by, and before we know it, Christmas is over. January is dawning, and in spite of all of our best intentions, we sometimes look back and realize that things didn't work out exactly as we had planned. And I'm not trying to be Scrooge this morning, but I'm just trying to be a realist. And so then after Christmas, we look back on it all, almost disappointed. We're exhausted. We're numb. The intended family closeness turned into bruised relationships. And instead of racking up a bunch of great memories, all we racked up was a bunch of debt. And so we end up being like Chicago Cubs fans were for almost 108 years, if you know where I'm headed with this. Now, wait a minute. You guys won your World Series, so you can be happy now. But for almost 108 years, what did Cubs fans say at the end of every season? Gotta get them next year, right? Here's a Cubs fan, Samantha, right here on the front. We're gonna get them next year for 108 years, and finally they got them. But sometimes that's the way we are with Christmas. Next year, I promise, next year is gonna be different. Next year, I'm gonna do it this way. Next year, I'm gonna get Christmas right. Feel that way sometimes. It's sad. Because we end up dreading the Christmas season more than we look forward to it. So I want to unpack this morning some things that I think can help us get Christmas right. Some things that if we're mindful of and if we remember, they can make all the difference in how we look back at not only this Christmas and this holiday, but all of the Christmases to come. And it starts by centering ourselves on the Christmas story, on the Christmas message in Scripture, and that's why I read part of it this morning. I don't know about you guys, but even though some of those words I feel like we have memorized and we hear so many times during the Christmas season, or I hope we do, but every time I read those words that we read today, or every time that I hear that simple story, it touches my soul in a special way, and I think because I can feel the love of God in those words. Just in what Jesus did for us. Those beautiful words of the Christmas story ought to remind us about the remarkable thing God did for us, specifically when he sent us his son. See, because God looked down and he saw the condition of planet Earth, and he saw that it was needy and it was messy, but guess what? He didn't look away, right? He could have, but he didn't look away. Instead of being repulsed by our sinfulness and by our fallenness, God knew that we needed a Savior, and so he sent us one. I read this. It's written by an anonymous poet. It says, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need would have been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist or an inventor. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist or an entrepreneur. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior. He knew just what we needed. And by the way, as some of the narrative has been this morning and some of the songs have alluded to and even the video, God didn't come up with this Christmas plan just 2,000 years ago. Even before the dawn of time, God knew what was going to happen. See, God knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin, and this type of thing blows my mind even, but God knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew that we would follow suit, but he created us anyway. So before the beginning, the plan was for Jesus to come. Before the beginning, God had you in mind, and God had me in mind. And when we let this foundational Christmas truth really sink in, we can start really sensing the presence of God in a clear way. We can start getting filled up with Christmas wonder. I love that word wonder. Christmas wonder and Christmas worship. So in addition to the Christmas story, I want to tie it in and make it a little bit more real, a little bit more tangible for us this morning. So we're going to have some fun. I'm going to use some visuals in just a moment. Some visuals on the screen to help us get Christmas right. Not just in here, but when we leave out of here, and when we go out into what can be Christmas chaos, the rush and the madness of the Christmas season, when we see these things that I'm going to flash up on the screen this morning, and we're going to see them a lot, that we'll remember some of these triggers that come to mind, and it will help us in a great way to get Christmas right. So this is going to be kind of like the memory trigger game, all right? Anybody play that? You know, when you see a picture and you have to say the first thing that comes to your mind, some of you have done that with your psychologist or something, all right? Nobody wants to admit that they went to see the psychologist. But they show a picture and you got to give a reaction to it. What does that make you think of? What word comes to your mind? I don't want you to say a word out loud this morning, but when you see these things this week, I want to suggest to you maybe what we should think about when we see them. First one is, you ready? The nativity scene. The nativity scene. Now, we're going to see a lot of nativities around Christmas time, maybe displayed in a front yard or in a store or in a home. We don't see them as much in public places as we used to, but we still see them. We see these scenes. We see big ones. We see little ones on display. Sometimes we see blown up ones or inflated ones. All right, so whenever you see a nativity scene this year, whether it be plastic or glass or wooden or fake, or live, I want you to embrace this thought. That nativity scene is an illustration of something that actually happened in history. That it is a picture, it is an illustration, but of something that actually happened in human history. That Christmas isn't just a story. Track with me here, but it's his story, right? It's history. And in our text, I think that the writer, and we didn't read all these verses for sake of time, but I want us to look back at a couple of the early verses in Luke chapter 2, because in the Christmas story, I think that Dr. Luke, names for us a historical person in order to anchor the Christmas story in historical fact. All right, so look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Because the Bible says there was this census, right, that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, because the people were going to pay a tax. And the Bible says, while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now, his name is really a mouthful, but his full name was Governor Sulpicius Quirinius. And I thought Capaci was a hard name to say, all right? I'm grateful my name wasn't Sulpicius Quirinius. But Sulpicius Quirinius was a real person. He lived from 51 BC till around 21 AD. This governor was born in a town near Rome. He became a decorated Roman soldier and a senator before he became a governor. And Luke included this statement about the census in part to remind us that this is history, that Christmas is a real story, that it's a historical event. And so as we drive around this Christmas season and we see lawn displays of Santa and his sleigh, or Frosty the Snowman, or even the Grinch that stole Christmas, I don't want us to make the same mistake that a lot of people do. Don't lump the image of the nativity scene in there with all those other things as just Christmas folklore, all right? Because although Frosty and the Grinch that stole Christmas didn't really happen, and I know that's spoiler alert this morning because some of you thought that they were real, all right? But those things aren't real, but the nativity really happened. Can you say that with me this morning? The nativity really happened. Let's say it out loud. The nativity really happened. Say it again. The nativity really happened. And you can add this just in your mind and in your heart, that it happened for me. The nativity happened for you. The nativity happened for me because the God of the universe took on human form. He lived perfectly. Jesus died horrifically on the cross, and then he rose victoriously, triumphantly, so that you and I could know him personally. This is real stuff. And when we see the nativity this year, I want us to remind our kids, remind our spouse, remind somebody else that wasn't even in this room this morning, you know what? That's true. That really actually happened. Let me give you another memory aid this morning. Christmas cards, all right? Now, I received one during today's greeting time, so that was pretty awesome. Christmas cards. We all get them. A lot of us still send them. Maybe we try to pass them out so we can avoid postage, all right? But we We all get Christmas cards. Many of you have them with you today. You have them in your Bible. You have them in your purse. Statistics tell us that 1.5 billion cards are sent every year in the U.S. That's a ton of cards. 1.5 billion. The practice of sending Christmas cards has been around for a long time. It originated back in the United Kingdom in like 1843. Now, if you think about it, it's a pretty cool thing to be on the receiving end of a Christmas card. Because it means that you're on somebody's friend list, all right? It means you made the cut. Because I feel like every year people, like, they look through their Christmas card list and they kind of, who do I need to add to it? Who do I need to maybe take off of it this year? None of us want to admit that, all right? But I haven't seen this person in a long time, or this person really ticked me off. I don't know. But, like, you know, some people get taken off of Christmas card. But when you get that card, we went to some parties yesterday and last night. My wife and I were crashing all these Shadow Hills community group parties. And so we were at one on one side of the town, and we drove to one about 20 miles on the other side of town. And all we did was just eat, right? And we had a good time. But different people were coming up and giving us Christmas cards. And so when we got home that night before we went to bed, I'm opening up these Christmas cards. My wife, literally everyone, she's like, who's that from? I'm like, well, this is from so-and-so and so. Oh, that was nice. Who's that from? Well, this is from, that's nice. And it's just a great thing to be on someone's friend list. But let me say this. If you have opened up your heart to Jesus, if you have trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, watch me, then you are on God's friendship list. You're on the friendship list of God. Listen to what Jesus said to a group of his followers in John chapter 15. He said, I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves, but Jesus said this, you are now my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Think about how awesome that is. That the King of all the universe would be our friend. Because, I mean, having a friend down here is great. You know, it's an awesome thing. But even the best human friendship that we have is flawed, isn't it? The best human friendship that we could possibly forge is still a flawed friendship. Because think about some qualities that a really good friend has. A really good friend has time for us. But they don't have unlimited time. Like, there are certain times that we need them that they're just not there. Good friends listen, all right? They listen to our junk. They just let us babble on, but they're not always perfect listeners. Sometimes we really need our friend to show empathy, and they just don't care like they should. A good friend gives advice. A good friend gives counsel, but it's not always spot on. Sometimes friends give bad advice. I mean, I try to be a good friend. You try. We all try. But the thing is, we are flawed. But listen, if you're on God's Christmas card list, when he is your friend, you're in a relationship with a flawless friend. Because Jesus' love is perfect. You talk about giving advice, the Bible calls Jesus the wonderful counselor. His truth is right. It is always right. His counsel is always spot on. His listening skills are unparalleled. He's available 24 hours a day. And on top of that, God has unlimited resources and infinite power. Here's what I'm saying this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. And that's what I want you to think about. Every time you get a Christmas card, every time you put one in the mail, every time you see one go up on the refrigerator, Jesus Christ is a friend to sinners. Some of us are heading into this Christmas season, and we're dreading it. You're dreading it for various reasons. You're dreading it because maybe a loved one passed away this year. And so since last Christmas, and now this one rolls around, and you've lost a loved one. Or maybe this is the first Christmas that you're going to be single because of a divorce. Or maybe for whatever reason, you just feel a sense of loneliness and emptiness. Well, watch me, guys. You don't have to go through this alone. You don't have to go through it alone. So whenever you get a Christmas card between now and Christmas Day, I challenge you to stop for just a second and think, what a friend I have in Jesus, that he is my friend. One last memory aid this morning, all right? And we're going to see this a lot, I think, many of us during the Christmas season. Credit cards. All right? I'm guessing a lot of us are going to use these a fair amount at this time of the year. Some of us, if we're going to be honest, so much so that we're going to melt the numbers right off the front of this baby. You know what I mean? It's going to be, talk about cash burning a hole in our pockets. The card, you know, the magnetic stripe is going to be on fire. We're using it so much. And I'm not trying to judge, because giving gifts is a big deal. It's important. And of course, we're an increasingly cashless society. So it's a pretty common practice for us to use credit cards, right? But if you're like me, every time that you pull out your trusty card, you do a mental calculation. And if you don't do this calculation, maybe it'd be good to start doing it. But here's the calculation that I use. I'm like, how many times have I used this card since I got my last bill? All right? Because I don't want to be completely shocked and surprised by the time the, you know, so I'm like, how high is the balance going to be? And in months like December and January, we might especially dread the day coming in a few weeks when that statement comes due, when that bill comes in and it's time to pay up. It's going to hurt a little bit, right? Well, this Christmas, in the seconds that we make a credit card purchase, when we pull out that card, like the times we go to Walmart, we're like, I'm about to drop 50 bucks, but we drop like 300 bucks instead. Here's what I want you to think about. That all of us have a moral debt. That we have a sin debt. That no matter how frugal we try to be, and no matter how perfect we try to be, and no matter how good we try to be, we're going to get things right, we're going to do things right, we'll never measure up. And God, in his perfectness, has fairly required that we live a perfectly righteous life. But knowing that we could never do that, he sent Jesus to pay our sin debt for us. And when that bill debt came due, although we could never pay it, Christ paid it for us. You look at that credit card, you think about the fact that I owed a debt that I could never pay. And Jesus paid the debt that he didn't owe because he loved me. Listen, Christmas signifies that Jesus was born to die. I mean, we rejoice in his birth, but thank God for his death. He was born to die to pay the bill that came due because of our sin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so we might become. Like, we could never earn it on our own, but because Jesus became sin on our behalf, we might become the righteousness of God in him. So what's it going to take to get Christmas right? We have so many things. We have these lists. They're on our phone, they're in our pockets, and we're crossing them off, and we got to do, oh man, we forgot this, we got to go to the grocery, we got to get this, we got to make sure everything is just perfect. And let me just urge us, we don't have much time left, just a week or so, but let me urge us to pause and remember the things that really signify what Christmas is about. First of all, it's not just a cartoon, it's not just a movie, it's not just a Hallmark Channel special, but it is an historical event that really happened. Every time you see a nativity scene, I hope that you'll think that. When you get that Christmas card, would you think with me about the fact that Jesus Christ is a personal friend of sinners? And when you pull out that credit card, for those of you, you know, financially frugal people, your debit card, all right? And anytime you pull out one of those cards, just remember that we owed a debt that could only be paid by Christ, and it was. Stand with me this morning, if you would, and bow your heads. If you would bow your heads, because right before we have a song of response, I want to ask a question. This is a great crowd this morning, and you may have come this morning. Maybe this is your first time to Shadow Hills. Maybe you've been here a bunch of times. But you're not 100% for certain that you have asked Christ in your heart to be your Savior. See, the fact is, Jesus did pay for the sins of the whole world, but have you invited him to forgive your sins and to come into your heart? If you have never done that, I want to help you with that this morning. I can't accept Jesus for you. It's a personal decision that you have to make. But I want to lead you in a prayer. And so as our heads are bowed, if you would like to ask Christ to come into your heart, just repeat this prayer after me in your heart and in your mind, but the best you know how, just with what faith you have, would you cry out to God and say, "Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I admit that, but I also confess that you died for me, that you died to pay my sin debt. And trusting you alone, I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Savior, to forgive me, and to take me to heaven one day when I die. I believe you and I trust you. And you alone to be my salvation." With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, every head bowed. But if you prayed that prayer for the first time to make that commitment to make Jesus Christ your Savior, just so God can see that you're serious and so that I can see your hand to pray for you, would you just slip it up and just say, "Pastor, I prayed that prayer this morning." Just all over the house. Just slip it up for just a second. And you can put it back down. Thank you so much. I see those hands and you can put those hands back down. I've got some friends that are right up front. And in just a moment, as we sing this last song, it's going to be a newer song, but we invite you with the words to go ahead and sing along with Scotty. But even more than that, if God has spoken to your heart during this service and you'd like to come and pray with someone, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to come into your heart, come down and let one of our pastors or ministry leaders know that. If you have questions this morning about what it means to be baptized after you get saved, come and let us know that. If you have questions about what it means to be a member of Shadow Hills Church, or if you just want somebody to take a moment to pray with you, this is what we're here for. This is what this response time is all about. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you as we sing, if God has spoken to you, to come. God, Lord, bless this now, last song, as we respond to the gospel, as we respond to the idea that Jesus was born to die. May you move in our midst. May you free up hearts and souls to make the decisions that you would have us to make. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin.
Thanks for joining us today. If you have been blessed by this podcast and would like to help support our ministry, you can go to shadowhills.org/give. We greatly appreciate your generosity. Join us again next time, and may God bless you with his best for your life. We hope to see you again soon.